The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the hearts of many will be revealed. The Gospel of the Lord. Have you ever heard of an ugly Christmas sweater competition? Sometimes I wonder, you know, like we've got this atomized world and, you know, they get the internet and social media. And sometimes you wonder, just because you've heard of something, that other people haven't heard of it. So anyway, a phenom, at least among some circles out there, is something known as an ugly Christmas sweater competition. And I guess it's because Christmas sweaters have become so loud and so garish that, like, just for fun, at a Christmas party, they'll give you a prize for having the ugliest sweater at the party. So I saw the other day what has to be the all-time ugliest Christmas sweater, as this guy just took his sweater and fixed to the outside, right on the front, a great big mirror. He said, sign says, ugly sweater, great big mirror. All-time ugly Christmas sweater winner, that one wins. But as amusing as that might be, there's something that's even more amusing. And that is how other people always very frequently tend to think that others are morally uglier than themselves. It's a strange, very amusing characteristic. People have an ability to see everybody else's faults in clear focus and completely miss their own. Now, just as an aside, a couple years ago, Pope Francis gave a homily that wasn't anywhere near as widespread as I wished it had been. And in his homily, he said, when you go to confession, do not confess other people's sins, just your own. That might seem strange to you. I don't know. You might have to be a priest to know this, but I can assure you that very many people spend very large percentages of their time in confession mentioning things that they didn't do, mentioning things, rather, that other people did. They'll say, well, my husband said this, and my wife did that, and my neighbor said this, and my son-in-law did that. Just as an aside, don't ever do that. Only mention your own faults, skip everybody else's. That's just an aside. The reason why I mention all of this is because of one line in the first reading, where St. John says, whoever says that he's in the light, but hates his brother, is still in the darkness. There's a maxim in the spiritual life, and it goes like this. The more you are focused on other people's faults, the more you are missing your own faults. Guaranteed. In fact, let me say that again. The more you focus on other people's faults, the more you are missing your own faults. Not that there isn't an hour for what's called fraternal correction, or as Jesus said, you know, admonish the sinner, but if you would, keep a mental record of the interior monologue that's happening inside your head all day, and just ask yourself, are you obsessed with the faults of other people? Do you spend any measurable fraction of your day dwelling on the faults of other people? You'd be amazed how many people, and for a large portion of the day, they're angry all day long at somebody else's faults. Could be a family member, could be someone from their favorite political party or political personage, could be a friend, could be a neighbor, but for a large portion of the day, all day long, and I suppose they think they're very righteous, right? They're focused on somebody else's faults. You should know the saints were never like this. Never. They were so focused on the love of God and on the love of others, they had no time left over to think about other people's faults. They're keenly aware of their own faults. And honestly, if you look at the lives of the saints and read about them, you'll find they spent a tremendous amount of effort trying to excuse other people of very, very obvious faults. That's how the saints acted. And I suppose what we're really talking about here is a certain characteristic of the virtue of humility. When you're humble, one of the characteristics of it is that you are so keenly aware of your own faults that you really don't have a whole lot of time or attention left to focus on somebody else's faults. If you've mastered every other aspect of the spiritual life, but if you haven't mastered this, you have not yet begun to live the spiritual life. And we'd all like to do something about it, but how? It's not as simple as flipping a light switch, right? Well, Jesus tells us that the trick is to humble yourself. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. And you'll find the saints giving us lots of advice as to how to humble ourselves. St. Teresa of Avila, for example. One way to humble yourself, she says, you want to make a practice of it? Let other people have their way. Just let them have, as long as there's not a principle being violated, right? As long as there's not a sin being committed, let other people have their preferences. And you'll grow in humility. But just another little thought today to humble yourself, and it's this. Try to do good. Just try. And watch yourself fail. Works every time. Maybe you think that you're very disciplined in your thoughts, words, and actions. You think you've got yourself all under control. Good for you. Now, try doing more of it. Persevere. See how well you do when you're provoked, when someone deliberately pushes your buttons, when you're exhausted, or when you're feeling down. And you will grow in humility. Maybe you pride yourself on how generous you are. Good for you. We need more of it. But if you do, try being even more generous. Try, if you dare, to give to the point where you're denying yourself things that you might really want. And watch yourself fall. And you will grow in humility. Maybe you pride yourself on how faithful you are to prayer and how attentive you are to prayer. Great. Good for you. That's important. But try doing more of it. Try being more attentive and watching your mind drift. Try praying more and find yourself making excuses. And you will grow in humility. And you'll find yourself saying over and over again, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because whether we like to admit it or not, morally speaking, we are all a little bit uglier than we think, and we need all the mercy we can get. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Thomas Becket, pray for us.